It was in the last room, the one nearest the nose, that the monotony broke. A curving window of non-reflecting glass was the first break in the universal metal, and below it was a single large dial, with a single motionless needle hard against the zero mark. Donovan said, "Look at that," and pointed to the single word on the finely marked scale. It said, "Parsecs," and the tiny figure at the right end of the curving, graduated meter said 1,000,000. There were two chairs, heavy, wide flaring, uncushioned. Powell seated himself gingerly and found it molded to the body's curves, and comfortable. Powell said, "What do you think of it?" "For my money, the brain has brain fever. Let's get out." "Sure you don't want to look it over a bit?" "I have looked it over. I came, I saw, I'm through." Donovan's red hair bristled into separate wires. "Greg, let's get out of here. I quit my job 5 seconds ago, and this is a restricted area for non-personnel." Powell smiled in an oily, self-satisfied manner and smoothed his mustache. "Okay, Mike, turn off that adrenaline tap you've got draining into your bloodstream. I was worried too, but no more." "No more, huh? How come no more? Increased your insurance?" "Mike, this ship can't fly."
"How do you know?"
"Well, we've been through the entire ship, haven't we?"
"Seems so."
"Take my word for it. We have. Did you see any pilot room except for this one port and the one gauge here in parsecs? Did you see any controls?"
"No."
"And did you see any engines?"
"Holy Joe, no."
"Well then, let's break the news to landing, Mike." They cursed their way through the featureless corridors and finally hit and missed their way into the short passage to the airlock. Donovan stiffened.
"Did you lock this thing, Greg?"
"No, I never touched it. Yank the lever, will you?" The lever never budged, though Donovan's face twisted appallingly with exertion. Powell said, "I didn't see any emergency exits. If something's gone wrong here, they'll have to melt us out."
"Yes, and we've got to wait until they find out that some fool has locked us in here," added Donovan, frantically.
"Let's get back to the room with the port. It's the only place from which we might attract attention." But they didn't. In that last room, the port was no longer blue and full of sky. It was black, and hard yellow pinpoint stars spelled space. There was a dull double thud as two bodies collapsed separately into two chairs. Alfred Lanning met Dr. Calvin just outside his office. He lit a nervous cigar and motioned her in. He said, "Well, Susan, we've come pretty far, and Robertson's getting jumpy. What are you doing with the brain?"
Susan Calvin spread her hands. "It's no use getting impatient. The brain is worth more than anything we forfeit on this deal. But you've been questioning it for 2 months.
The psychologist's voice was flat, but somehow dangerous.
"You would rather run this yourself." "Now you know what I meant."
"Oh, I suppose I do." Dr. Calvin rubbed her hands nervously. "It isn't easy. I've been pampering it and probing it gently, and I haven't gotten anywhere yet. Its reactions aren't normal. Its answers, they're queer somehow. But nothing I can put my finger on yet. And you see, until we know what's wrong, we must just tiptoe our way through. I can never tell what simple question or remark will just push him over. And then, well, and then we'll have on our hands a completely useless brain. Do you want to face that?"
"Well, it can't break the first law."
"I would have thought so, but you're not even sure of that?" Lanning was profoundly shocked. "Oh, I can't be sure of anything, Alfred." The alarm system raised its fearful clangor with a horrifying suddenness. Lanning clicked on communications with an almost paralytic spasm. The breathless words froze him. He said,
"Susan, You heard that? The ship's gone. I sent those two field men inside half an hour ago. You'll have to see the brain again.
Susan Calvin said with enforced calm, Brain, what happened to the ship?
The brain said happily, The ship I built, Miss Susan?
That's right. What has happened to it?
Why, nothing at all.
The two men that were supposed to test it were inside, and we were all set. So I sent it off.
Oh, well, that's nice.
The psychologist felt some difficulty in breathing.
Do you think they'll be all right?
Right as anything, Miss Susan. I've taken care of it all. It's a beautiful ship.
Yes, Brain, it is beautiful. But you think they have enough food, don't you?
They'll be comfortable.
Plenty of food.
This business might be a shock to them, Brain. Unexpected, you know.
The brain tossed it off.
They'll be all right. It ought to be interesting for them.
Interesting. How?
Just interesting, said the brain, slyly.
Susan, whispered Lanning in a fuming whisper, ask him if death comes into it. Ask him what the dangers are.
Susan Calvin's expression contorted with fury. Keep quiet. In a shaken voice, she said to the brain,
We can communicate with the ship, can't we, Brain?
Oh, they can hear you if you call by radio. I've taken care of that.
Thanks.
That's all for now. Once outside, Lanning lashed out ragingly. Great galaxy, Susan. If this gets out, it will ruin all of us. We've got to get those men back. Why didn't you ask it if there was danger of death? Straight out.
Because, said Calvin with a weary frustration, that's just what I can't mention. If it's got a case of dilemma, it's about death. Anything that would bring it up badly might knock it completely out.
Will we be better off then?
Now look, it said we could communicate with them.
Let's do so. Get their location and bring them back.
They probably can't use the controls themselves. The brain is probably handling them remotely. Come.